in front of you. So I took her to Subway, and that's when the fight started, he says. I'm telling you, that just tickled me. That was just brilliant, you know? That was brilliant. And you realize that this is the time of feasting, obviously. Oh, don't worry, fasting's coming. But we consume, Americans consume, 3 billion pizzas per year. 3 billion. Can you imagine? I know I help a lot in that area right there, baby. I help a lot. I don't know why that just stuck in my mind, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. That's a lot of stinking pizza. There's a saying that everybody here has heard many times. We've heard it around the holidays. And you've watched it on television from Dr. Seuss. And it says, how could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. You know, no matter where you're at in Christ, I believe that there's a little bit more. I believe that this year, we need to grow a little bit more. Perhaps we can understand a little bit more. Perhaps we'll desire just a little bit more. Because I believe that God will give us the desires of our heart. Amen? And so really, what is our desire? Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And you know, the view that we have on life is always the same, and that is that it is time for a miracle. You know, we always think this is the time for miracles. Everybody gets it's a wonderful life. I mean, that's just a classic. You got to watch that every year, right? I know what your angel looks like. All right, we saw it in the movie. I know what his looks like. And but there's certain things, and people get stirred to believe for something greater this time of year. They look around. There's more smiles on your faces. You should try to wear one today. Some of yous. I'll wait. That's better. Now I thank you, Arthur. But there is just something miraculous about this time of year. I don't know. Maybe it started with the virgin birth. That's pretty miraculous. Amen? Maybe that's what it is that stirs us up every time this year. And you know, in the time of Jesus' birth, there was many obstacles. And everybody said, amen? Right? There's many obstacles that we're walking in today. And there's many obstacles that are out there. But do they distract you or deter you from doing what God's called you to do? Will you allow an obstacle to hold you back? Joseph had some obstacles to overcome, right? He had a wife that was pregnant, or he had a girlfriend that was pregnant, wasn't his wife. He had some obstacles in that time of growing up and in that time of life to overcome. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't walk away. It was nice that he had a word from an angel. That always changes things a little bit. You know? And I believe that God wants to speak to each and every one of us often. But this morning, you know, as we believe what is written and spoken of the Lord, I believe that we're going to see the miraculous in my life. That's what I believe. Tell your neighbor, say, I will see the miraculous in my life. See, I don't know what the miraculous is. I don't know. My wife getting pregnant in her latter years, that'd be a miracle, right? That'd be a miracle. No, she doesn't want that miracle for some reason, you know? And honey, it's Christmas. Man, here God's trying to give away miracles and people don't want them. You know? Oh, and every woman over 50 said amen with my wife in agreement, right? So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2, would you? I'm sorry, it's just a fun day. It's just a day of joy. It's a day of wonder. It's a day of amazement. It's a day of miracles. It's a day of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's a day for dancing in the Lord with all of our might. And I pray you took advantage of that earlier. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 in verses 21 to 40. And let's read that together as you follow along. It says, and when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. See, this proves there's another issue that they had. They normally would give a lamb as an offering, and they couldn't afford that. So all they could afford were the turtle doves and the pigeons. So they didn't have everything like we have today. It says, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, I just think about that verse right there. He blessed God, holding God in his arms. And he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and arise of many in Israel, and a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Just reading your word changes our lives. As we've heard your word already this morning in song and in the reading, Father, we thank you for making our hearts tender to receive your word. Let our minds be overwhelmed with your word. Let our hearts be completely transformed by the power of your love. And let our understanding grow so that whenever your word is written, it draws us. Lord, even when your spirit says, go and read my word again, go spend some time in the word, we're drawn so quickly. And we sit for hours resting and meditating in you. Thank you, for your word has transformed us day after day after day. We give you the glory for your written word this morning, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, and as we, every time we read his word, it's the most powerful thing on this planet. It's the most powerful words on the planet. There is no book like ours. And it's ours. We get to have it. We get to hold it. It's on our phone. It's on our computers. It's on our shelves. It better not be on your shelf too long. But that word changes everything. And as we look at Simeon today, and coming off of what Pastor Romano preached on last week, do you hear what I hear? And when we look at Simeon, not much is spoken about him. And Simeon means he who hears. It also means snub-nosed or flat, wide nose. And Simeon, after this, Simeon isn't even mentioned in the scriptures ever again. But what a powerful statement he makes. And how beautiful are the words that flow out of his heart. And how amazing is it that an angel spoke to him and said that before you die, you'll see the Christ. Man, what a powerful statement that is. How wonderful. 400 years waiting. Silence. The word comes. And here's Simeon in the temple praying, studying. Here's Anna in the temple praying, fasting, serving. They didn't give up hope for anything. And there was a lot of junk going on back then. Herod wasn't the nicest ruler on the planet at that time. And yet, Simeon stayed true. In 2 Corinthians, and we find out that it says that he was righteous and he was devout. Now, we know that our righteousness we received from Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf so that we might become the what? Righteousness of God in Christ or in him. So tell your neighbor, say, you have been made righteous by the blood of Christ. Right. So he was a righteous man by the law, because before the blood of Christ was even shed, his heart, he walked in righteousness. He walked according to the word of God. And he was devout. Now, your righteousness you can receive, amen, through prayer. But you can't receive your devoutness through prayer. That's going to take some discipline. Let me tell you what devout means. Yielding a solemn and reverential attention to God in religious exercises, particularly in prayer. We must be constant and devout in the worship to God, devoted to him. And in Webster's 1828 dictionary, under devout, they have Simeon was a just man and devout. He was in the dictionary in 1828. And then it said, devout men carried Stephen for his burial. Both in the dictionary. Because when it comes to devotion or men that are devout, here Stephen had just been stoned. What man is going to sacrifice himself and go up and pick up somebody they hate and then go bury him? And then we have here Simeon, who's a devout man. He's righteous in the eyes of the law, and he's devout. He doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. He doesn't draw back. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't care what's going on in the world. His focus was looking for the Christ. Oh, my goodness. I think about that. And he had one word from God, and he wasn't going to let it go. I know that everyone in here has gotten a word from God at one time or another. Maybe a prophetic word from someone else. Or maybe a word that you got in your devotion. And those that are online. But can I tell you, don't stop until you receive that word that God has given you. Don't give up. You walk in your righteousness that comes from Christ. And you don't stop your spiritual disciplines. Early in the morning will I seek you, David said. You don't give up your daily devotions. You don't give up your time in the Word. You don't give up or stop proclaiming the promise that was spoken over you, over your marriage, over your children, over your entire family, a job, whatever it is, whatever word was spoken, you keep proclaiming that. Write it on your mirror, on your doorpost, every single day. Simeon was a righteous man, and he was devout. He wasn't giving up until he received the promise that God had spoken to him. And I know there's some promises that you people have, every one of us. Some of them that you have heard, maybe they seem too grandiose, too big, too far out there. I want you to know, with God, it's a very simple thing. Your need is a very simple thing. Saving your family is as simple as saving you. You bowed your knee one day to a loving father. And you said, for the rest of my life, I'll follow and honor you. How quickly did that happen? Oh, maybe you look at the years prior. someone praying, but it only took a moment, and your life was drastically changed. Simeon's life was drastically changed in a moment. That word was fulfilled in his life, and he said, "Now I'm ready to die." Isn't that amazing? How much did he have? Was he holding on to? Where was his faith at? We don't get to read a whole lot about him, but we can hear it in what he spoke. And when we look at Simeon, we see a man who experienced and obeyed a call from God. And each one of us have been given a specific call. Each one of us have been given a specific purpose on this planet. Maybe you haven't walked yours out yet. I want you to know there's still time. There's still time for you. And you know when that time starts? Right now. Right now. Maybe you've been distracted. Maybe it was ribbons and bows and bags and whatever all those sayings were that Dr. Seuss used. Maybe that gets you a little bit off your game and you let down a little bit and it's like, we'll just, you know, after Christmas, we'll get back to it. Can I encourage you? This is the time to get back to it. To get back to the promise that he spoke over your life and over your family. To the promise that he spoke over you, that I will walk with you all the days of your life. That I will empower you to do the miraculous. That when I walk with you, the whole world will be transformed by the power of my love through you. These are the promises that God has made. Yeah, but I've gone too far. I've made too many mistakes. Tell your neighbor, say, no, you haven't. Yeah. Tell your other neighbor, say, I made more. Right. We always make it about us, don't we? We always make it about us. How about we make it about him? Amen. I'm not interested in what you have to say, unless it lines up with the word of God. But I am interested in what he has called you to walk out, because that changes other people's lives. Just like Simeon changed people's lives. In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And after a couple of short verses, he is never heard from again. Isn't that amazing? One man said in one of the commentaries that I read, he said, prior faith rewarded by present sight. Prior faith rewarded by present sight. What he studied, what he read, what he understood was his truth that he held on to. And then he got to see the fruition of the promise of God. I want to encourage you, if you'll hold on to the word of God, you'll see the promise of God manifested. You will see it manifested. You will not just hear about it. You will not just write about it. You will not see it afar off, but you'll experience it no different than Simeon did. But we're going to have to be stand in righteousness, which means getting rid of some of the junk in our lives and then being devout in the way that we live our lives. Because that's what Simeon did. Listen, there's nothing that says he did anything else except serve the Lord. That's all it says. Anna served the Lord. She was only married for what, 7 years before her husband died and became a widow? You know, married at probably 15, 16. By the time she's 22 or 23, her husband is gone. She becomes a widow. For the next 60 years, she just loves the Lord so much, she goes and serves in the house of God. Listen, when you retire, come on down to the house of God. We got things for you to do. Where's Jim and Sherry? Are they here today? Oh, hey, Mr. Jim. It's good to have you today. Jim and Sherry, they come and they serve at the food pantry. There's nobody older on the planet than them two, you know what? I mean, and what does Jim do? Jim comes down and he serves, carrying boxes, bags, and he helps the poor. Him and Pastor Bob, they lock arms and they help each other a little bit during the day as they walk out going and getting. They don't stop. They didn't stop in their older years and say, you know what? I've done my job. I've done my part. I've loved the Lord. Y'all carry on from here. They said, no, I want to serve in the house of God until God calls me home. Are you waiting for somebody to be born first, Jim? before you leave this planet to be fulfilled? But God, I want to encourage you, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what stage you're in, there's something that God has for you to do now. Tell your neighbor, say, right now. Amen. Not a week from now, not when your kids get big, not when they're all driving. They're all different seasons, but can I tell you, God wants to use us in every single season. And just like Simeon and Anna, because her heart was for the Lord, she got to see the Christ. He got to hold God in his arms and proclaim and sing a song over his life. So my question is, what did he see? You know, maybe he was chewing on Genesis 49 and 18. It says, for your salvation I wait, O Lord. Maybe it was Isaiah 49 and 6 where he said, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Or maybe Isaiah 52, 10, where the Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our Lord. See, he knew salvation was coming. He knew the anointed one was coming. And then the angel said, you're going to see him. Well, I know one thing. Simeon was one of the only ones that got to see him as a baby. There's many saw him, but we get to live with him. Amen. It's not just a one time where he got to pray with him and then hand him back to his mother and maybe never see him again before he went home to be with the Lord. But we get to walk in the power of the living God. Not just hold him for a moment, but to walk out in his power, in his love, and in his mercy, and to be loved by him all day long. Isn't that amazing? I think about what Simeon saw. He said, my eyes have seen your salvation. And that word seen, it means quite a bit. It's a very important word, and it means to perceive, notice, discern, discover, know, and understand. He said, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. What did he see? How much did he see? Because it says that not only did he discern, discover, and know, but how much did he come to understand at that moment when he held the Christ child? How much of his life was transformed in one moment by staring into the promise being fulfilled? How much of his mind and understanding came as he looked at the Old Testament and he remembered in Isaiah where he says he's the Prince of Peace and he's holding the Prince of Peace? How much did he see? The Spirit of God that moved Simeon to go to the temple courts made him see more than just a little baby, I think. I think when he said, you know, my eyes have seen your salvation, filled with the Spirit, that Simeon sees that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He's holding the fulfillment of all of the promises. Not just one promise that the angel gave, but every single promise coming to fruition in one moment as he held the anointed one. What did he see? What did he discern? What did he come to understand? He saw that Jesus is the promised Messiah who sits on the throne of David, according to Jeremiah 23:5. He's seen the fulfillment of that. They've waited a couple thousand years, and now the reality of the Christ child is here. Did he see Emmanuel, God with us? Did he see the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace? Did he see all of that in one moment? What went through his mind as he held Christ? What were his thoughts? What did he discern? What did he see? He said, I saw your salvation. Speaking of the Father, God's salvation, the only way that you can have a right relationship with the Father, was seen by a man in a moment, and everything was changed. Oh, that day that we received Christ, how did your life change? The moment you saw the reality of what your parents had told you for years and you didn't listen. The reality of what you have heard, but it didn't make sense. The reality of what other people begged you to do and you said, well, that's not for me. I don't think so. It's not the right time. I got a few more things to do. I don't know what you said to everybody around you that was praying for you, but then there was a moment when you beheld the Christ, when he took over your life, when he came in to live with you, and he said, I've washed you, and I've cleansed you, and I've made you whole. Tell your neighbor, say, you're complete in Christ. See, did you see that on the day of your salvation? I didn't see it all when I first got saved. I believed what the preacher was saying, and I knew something changed, but I didn't understand it all. I believe that Simeon, when he held the Christ, he saw a lot, but he didn't understand it all of what Jesus was going to do. But did he see the one who was going to heal the nations, holding him in his arms? What do you see when you get up and you look in the mirror? Since the Christ lives inside of you, the Spirit of God now dwells in you, for those that have asked, what do you see? Do you see the world changing because of the call of God on your life? Do you see family members being transformed because of the power of love that flows out of you, because of the transformation that happened the day that you beheld his glory? What do you see when you look in the mirror? We know what Simeon saw. He said, I see your salvation. Simeon sees with his own eyes what God's people wanted or waited for centuries. And what Simeon himself waited for his whole life to see. He sees that God is he's a wonderful God. He's a sovereign God. And he's a God who keeps his promise. What a good God. He's a God that'll keep his promise to 1,000 generations. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. So stop worrying about that. He's not going to leave you all by yourself. Listen, when you feel like you're all by yourself, you're just lying to yourself. I'm so lonely I could die. How many people think like that? How silly for a Christian to have that thought in their head. Does God dwell within you? Well, he said that I will come and what? Live in you. So does he or doesn't he? So are you lonely? Tell your neighbor, say, not today. Because you know I'll call you up here and we're going to have to pray for you and get you right. You can't be lonely when the Christ lives on the inside of you. You know why we get lonely? We get away from the Word of God. Because when we get back into the Word of God, I'm reminded that, wait a minute, not only am I walking with the Lord who lives on the inside of me, the Anointed One, the Savior of the whole world, the one whom Simeon spoke of when he said, I saw the salvation. He saw God's salvation, where every single one that would proclaim the name of Jesus Christ would have an opportunity to be transformed in an instant. He said, I saw all of that happening. And at that moment, from that point forward, when you ask him into your life, you have no way, there's no way that you can be lonely from there on out. You can have thoughts of loneliness, but you're not lonely. You can think, oh, I am lonely. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't know what it's like. I know what it's like to lie against the truth. Because I've done it before. The Word of God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I said early on, I said, yeah, that won't happen. I've got too many flaws. I've got too many mistakes. Too weak. Not strong enough. I keep making the same mistakes early on, getting frustrated, saying, Lord, you really can't use me. I will make a mess of everything. God said, yeah, I know, but I'm going to put a lot of people around you that'll help you. That's what he said he'd do to you, too. Look, you're just as big a mess as I am. I just want you to know. Or as we were before Christ. But now God, in his beauty and his majesty, he's going to surround you with people that are going to walk alongside of you, and they're going to help you to get stronger. You see, when he held the Christ, he saw the salvation. And in your salvation, everything was there. The day that you got saved, everything was there for your entire future. All the people that you need to walk alongside of you to help you, they're already there waiting. In your marriage, everything you need for a strong marriage, it's in there. Amen? God's promise is there. He said, I'm to love my wife the way that Christ loves the church. I'm still working on that. That takes a... Well, me and Pastor Chris, we're both working on that. If the rest of you got this worked out, let us know, would you? Because we're struggling a little bit. But we're growing in our understanding of what that means. Our wives are growing in the understanding of what the word says towards their husbands. We're all still growing in how to raise children. 3 out of 5 are out of the house. We're still trying to figure it out and do it better every single day. How easy is it to raise grandchildren? Yes. Go back to your mom and dad. I'm not wrecking this one. We get to love and spoil and give and bless and hold and then watch. Watch as their parents prayerfully don't make the same mistakes that we did. And we help them grow. See, what Simeon was seeing, he saw the salvation. He saw the promises of God for marriage, for children, for provision, for the Spirit of God descending on those that would ask for him. He saw the power of God being made manifest in you, in every single one that asks for that gift from God. He saw that coming into your life. And therefore, you lack nothing. You're not lonely. If you're lonely, come on down. We've got lots for you to do. All right? We'll start with shoveling from here to the river. All right? And then when you're done with that, we've got lots of rooms to paint. All right? How many things did he see? Did Simeon see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? Did he see the finished work of Calvary? Did his heart break when he saw what God was going to have to walk through in order to win our salvation, in order to conquer death, hell, and the grave? Did he see the Christ going to the cross and being beaten and nailed and buried and raised on the third day, ascending to the Father? How much did Simeon see when he said, "And I saw your salvation"? I want you to know it's a day of miracles today. God has got a plan. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Simon hears the wonderful news of Jesus will be bringing to the poor. We already mentioned how we've been sending out, when is it? Tuesday, I think we got to go get another 10,000 pounds. We got to drive up to Latham on Tuesday to pick up 10,000 pounds of food to give away. How wonderful is that? How much fun is that? I'm telling you, I have some of the best times just throwing that stuff around. Why? Because I know where it's going. All right? There's Ben Gay for later on and all of that, but at the moment, we're just heaving stuff left and right, getting it packed away. Thank God for the team that takes care of that. And if you've got time on Tuesday, see Lisa. She'll let you know how to help in there. On Thursday night, Pastor Bob and Mark Clark coming and serving because they saw the salvation of everyone that walks in to that class on Thursday nights. They go down and they just give of their time freely, hoping that one more will come and say, "Hey, I'm lonely, I'm lost, I'm an addict, I don't know what to do." And they can say, "Wait a minute, I have seen your salvation." The same as Simeon says, amen? I have seen. See, they're men with spiritual eyes and women with spiritual eyes that aren't looking at the outward appearance of a man. Simeon wasn't looking at a child. He was looking at the anointed one. He was looking at the promise of God coming to fulfillment. He was looking at the salvation for every single one that called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He read it in the Word of God, and he knew the power of God would not stop working generation after generation. And I want you to know it's still working in each one of our lives. Everyone, wherever you work, whatever you sow, whatever you're giving, this is a time of year to give. Give outside of your family. Give when you don't know who, or when they don't know who's giving it to them. This is what God has done. He has given to us when we didn't deserve it. It's a great time of year to give to your enemies. What? Just throwing it out there. Oh, it's biblical. Why? because my enemies don't control me anymore. Fear doesn't control anymore. Anger doesn't control anymore. Bitterness doesn't control anymore. Unforgiveness doesn't control anymore. The testimonies that we've heard time and time and time again, as the power of the promise is manifested through forgiveness. Simeon saw the power of that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that the world needs a Savior to be seen and heard by you? Do you see that every moment, every morning when you wake up, no different than Simeon coming in and having that moment with the Lord, just a moment with him. Oh, that we would arise early in the morning and have a moment with our God that lasts for hours. Not just a moment when we pray over our breakfast, but a moment that lasts for hours because of the gift of God, because you have seen the salvation of the entire world. Knowing that every knee will what? And every tongue will? That what? Christ is what? He's Lord. Every single one will, but we want them before they pass away. Amen? We want them now because we know we're walking out the fulfillment no different than Simeon. He said, I'm ready to go home. See, the day that I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't realize it, but my spirit was ready to go before the Father. Everything had been accomplished, right? God said, I put what kind of a spirit in you? A right spirit on the inside of you. He's transformed you. Your spirit man is ready. Your spirit man has been perfectly renewed by the power of God's love. Amen? Now it's just about taking this natural body and beating it into submission. I hope some of you get boxing gloves for Christmas. Practice your shadow boxing. Boxing gloves. And you just beat yourself right up. Every time a wrong thought comes, you just get out in the name of Jesus. That right uppercut, try not to hurt yourself and throw your back out and all of that, all right, when you're swinging. But I believe that just like Simeon, he said, I saw the salvation of the Lord. Your salvation is complete. It's a day of miracles for someone else. Whatever miracle you've been looking for in your family, it's time that you stood on it and you don't stop until you see the fruition of it before your very eyes. Your God is a God that hears and answers your cry. He's a God that walks alongside of you. He's a God that knows your heart. He's a God that understands your weaknesses. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? He knows my weakness and he loves me anyway. He knows how weak we are and he makes us strong when we feel like we are weak. I don't have to worry about being weak any longer. I only have to agree with him. Oh, God, I'm feeling weak. Ah, you're strong. What? No, Lord, you don't understand. Oh, I don't understand my word? That's what he asks us usually. No, Lord, but he says, no, but you're strong in me. When I come on the scene, dry bones start to walk again. Amen? That's what happens. See, Simeon saw the strength and the power of the Anointed One transforming the greatest fears into victories, death into life, eternity without fear. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? You get to rejoice looking at the day that you leave this planet. No longer worrying and fretting, you get to rejoice. And this morning, Simeon was complete when meeting baby Jesus, knowing the Savior of the world had come. And for those of you who know Jesus Christ, I want you to know you're complete the day that you met Jesus Christ. Everything you have need of has been supplied. Amen? You lack nothing. Tell your neighbor, say, you lack nothing. And I know we say this every year, but when you go to the mall, it only says one thing, right? You lack. That's what the mall says. It's a nasty place. It's a horrible place when my wife gets let loose in there. She does very good. I'm just kidding. She's amazing. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's incredible. She's incredible. She's hot. She's, you know, anything else I can come up with? Yeah. And she's not going to have a baby soon, she said. So that's good news. But I want you to know that when you embraced the Son of the Living God, everything changed in your life. And you are who he says you are. And there's those out there that need you in their lives. So let's walk in the victory that he has given us. You have seen the Christ child. You have seen the deliverer. You have received the healer, the savior of the world. The Son of the Living God lives on the inside of you. Therefore, now nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing. I can't has to leave your vocabulary. Has to leave your vocabulary. Everything that God wrote in his word, I'd love to see it manifested through every single person here. But we're going to have to walk in righteousness and be devout as Simeon was. Amen? That's all God's asking for. Agree with me that you're righteous, because then you'll let go of the old man and then walk and lay aside all the distractions of this world and spend your time with me. And you'll see the manifested power of God working through you every day of your life. Stay seated this morning as we're going to pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. And Lord, there seems to be so much in so few words that you use. Lord, let it be that we hang on each and every one. Father, we let go of the words of mere man when we were younger, where they were the ones that distracted us. Maybe some were hurt by them. Maybe some even brought themselves and funneled themselves into a thought process because of another human being. Father, today, we're going to let all of that go. We make a decision that we have seen the Christ, the deliverer, the salvation. Our salvation is complete. Therefore, there's nothing between our soul and our Savior. Therefore, all the promises are yea and amen, because we believe. Nothing is impossible because we believe. All that we put our hands to shall prosper. Our families shall be saved. We will walk in divine health. Wherever we walk, your name will be proclaimed. Our tongues will be the tongue of the learned. They will bring forth life into darkness and into a dying world. We will be the ones that bring deliverance to the captives in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the calling upon every life and for the victory that you have given us and for the miracle. Oh, the miracle of our salvation. Thank you for it, Father. We truly are the sons and daughters of the living God. He who was and is to come. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Oh, how we love you this morning, my God. We pray your blessing upon everyone here, oh God. Father, let each one experience your love right now in the name of Jesus. Father, everyone that maybe felt lonely, proclaiming, I'm lonely no more, for I walk with the King of Glory, the 24 elders, the cherubim and the seraphim, the angels, they walk, they go before me and are my rear guard. I'm never alone when I'm with the Lord, and I'll always walk with him all the days of my life from here on out. Thank you, Father, for strengthening those who felt hopeless when they came in. Now they're hopeful in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that their God has made a way for each and every one, and they have a divine purpose and a calling on their lives. Thank you for the one that feels like they were an outcast, and you brought them in, and you've clothed them with royal robes, and you put the best meal before each and every one of them, oh God. For you brought us into your chamber, into that place where your glory dwells. And you have said, you are mine and I am yours. Thank you, Father, for changing each one of us this morning. And unlike tomorrow or on Christmas morning, a mere present under the tree that never satisfies or fulfills, you satisfy every need. You satisfy every desire. You're the only one that satisfies your sons and daughters. We cherish you. We cherish your word. We cherish the gift of your Holy Ghost. Let us walk in the power of it this week, O God, that your name would be glorified this season. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.